always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I talked about this with Luka, and it's a little different with Austin. They're going to play a different style of defense. With Luka, he's going to spend a lot more time off of the ball. And with Luka, when I kind of described his defense, I talked about how I want him to just put himself in spots on the court that he knows the other team's offense needs to run through and gum up the offense that way, or the other team's offense that way. This, you know, with Austin is not how he's going to be able to get away with playing defense, unfortunately. Obviously, he and Grimes, depending on who the starting four might be, maybe it's Jake, maybe it's I know people were talking about Mamu as a potential starter. Maybe it's Kuminga, I don't know. Maybe Dybul, you know, starts a few games or plays some closing minutes as well. But as far as how things look right now, your primary point of attack defenders are going to be Austin and Quentin, and that being Quentin Grimes. And so, like, if that is going to be how they introduce themselves to opposing offenses, that means Austin needs to be solid. Right, don't get beaten off of the dribble with direct line drives to the basket that just completely cripple a defense. That is something that, like, Austin is typically pretty good at. I think he's usually pretty good at just kind of walling off those straight line paths to the basket. So that's not something I'm particularly worried about. Where Austin got into some trouble, especially in the postseason, was actually a design flaw where the Lakers were doing so much switching. Austin found himself as the low man on defense. And as we talked about with Tim, you know, a few weeks back, Austin in the playoffs became one of the highest volume rim defenders of the guys who played in the playoffs, which, if that is the case, your defense is going to be terrible. And Austin was not very good as a rim defender, as nobody would expect him to be. The other, you know, Austin is if the Lakers do switch the way that they did last year, and Austin finds himself that low in help defense, that means your defensive rebound is going to suffer as well. So, like, as much as we'll talk about Austin, or as much as we are talking about Austin, the individual defender, this is also where JJ Redick and his coaching staff can do Austin a solid by not putting him in such brutal spots defensively, that where, you know, Austin just doesn't have a chance. So this is, you know, the defense and stuff like that, just be solid, just be okay. Anything better than okay, where we start getting into above league average, or maybe even pretty good, or God forbid, even good defensively, which I don't think he'll ever really be, but still, anything better than league average is playing with house money at that point. That allows you to get a few stops, get out and run a little bit. The Lakers offense, I'm hoping, is going to be overwhelming. Austin has to be a big part of that. And when you have an overwhelming offense and you force the other team to take the ball out of the rim as frequently as I'm hoping the Lakers do, that alleviates some pressure on your defense, and that maybe makes Austin go from league average to above league average. So from, you know, as far as defense goes in the regular season, Lakers should be mostly fine. Postseason, you know, where teams start picking on you, game planning for some of your weaknesses and stuff like that, I do have some concerns there. But overall, all I'm asking of Austin is just to be solid. Just be fine. Please. Please. All right. The next thing that I want to talk about is honestly the most critical basketball thing that Austin needs to excel at next year. And that is catching and shooting. I cannot stress this enough. If Austin isn't an elite or close to elite catch and shoot threat, the Lakers are in trouble. As it stands right now for his career on three-pointers, he shoots about 36, almost 37% from three-point range. And that's like fine, you know, it's below where I would like to see it. But it's okay. And it's okay if Austin is like a good defender, right? Like if you have like a good defender and he also shoots, hold on one second. If he also shoots, a 36% and he's a good defender, that's a very good role player. That's somebody that every basketball team, needs on its roster. Sorry, I'm just in the Discord. Somebody posted a link where apparently Mark Walter, who is at the center of a federal investigation, suffered a stroke in 2024, and since then, some have questioned his fitness to continue leading his financial empire. That is from the Wall Street Journal. Well, that'll be a topic for another day. But the as far as Austin, like, you know, this is something that he desperately and the Lakers desperately need him to be better at. That number needs to creep up over 38-39% for, you know, Luka last year shot, I believe, about 38% on 10 threes per game. Last year, Austin shot 36% on only 6 threes per game. So both of those numbers are going to have to go up if the Lakers are going to be as overwhelming as they need to be offensively. Free throws were perfectly good last year. Like 7 attempts from Austin is a good number. Could always be higher, obviously, but that's a good number. Shot 87% on those free throws, which indicates to me that he should be a better three-point shooter. Now, this is where I'm going to nerd out a little bit as far as like shooting technique. Austin is a very one-handed jump shooter in that, and the ball goes way back here on the platter when he shoots it. And that helps get you a little bit of leverage. It makes you very good in the mid-range. Those one-handed jump shooters are very good in the mid-range, hence how good he is at the free throw line. But because, you know, and because he's a one-handed free throw shooter, he has to put the ball that much further back on the platter, and, you know, so that he has enough leverage to get the ball far enough from deep. Now, one thing that you can do eventually, right, is get a little stronger in your shoulders, get a little stronger in your wrist, and that maybe allows that ball to you know, jump out of your hand a little bit more, make you more explosive as a shooter. But overall, like I think part of the reason that Austin, isn't the same caliber of 3-point shooter that he is from the mid range is because of the technique and some strength, concerns as well. And, this is something that you get better at as you get older and as you get stronger and as you focus a little bit more on, you know, strength training and specified strength training. And in this case, I am hoping to God that Austin is really focusing hard on, becoming the, you know, a strong enough to shoot three-pointers at high volume, at high accuracy. Now, that is a balance that you have to take because the stronger that you get, the more muscle-bound you get, right? You always think back to, like, Dwight Howard, how he like looked like he was just kind of shooting like this because he just couldn't like extend his arms, right? Like, obviously, I'm not asking Austin to come into next season looking like Dwight Howard, but get a little bit stronger, a little stronger with your legs, a little stronger with your core, a little stronger in your back, and then also with that right wrist, And now all of a sudden, I think Austin has a better chance of becoming the catch and shoot threat that he needs to be. But look, if those numbers both don't go up, 7 attempts per game and 36% from deep last year, both those numbers need to jump up considerably. We're talking 2 or 3 percentage points and 2 or 3 attempts. If that happens, the Lakers offense is going to be humming. If it doesn't, well, that's where we get to the next kind of somewhat awkward conversation. So one of the topics that came up most frequently when I was there at Summer League talking to people and has continued to come up ever since is, what happens if this team isn't good enough? What avenues do the Lakers have to either pivot or improve or whatever if this team is further away from title contention after next year's playoffs than they need to be? And first round draft capital, not really an avenue that the Lakers can really go down. That isn't an asset that they can really kind of rely on. Second round draft capital, second verse, same as the first. Now they do have some somewhat intriguing younger players, right? Udo Thiro is an intriguing younger player if he can get and stay healthy. Cam Carr is somebody who a lot of coaches and scouts in the NBA really, really like his game, myself included. Maybe Bronny takes a step forward as a basketball player this next year. But just from a raw asset standpoint, flexibility standpoint in trades and stuff like that, the Lakers just don't have a ton to offer. Unless you include Austin in those trades. And one of the topics of conversation that I had a ton of discussions about was like, do we consider Austin's new contract movable? And for the most part, most people I spoke to said, yeah, I would say so. It's a 25% max on a player in his prime, a borderline all-star. Like that guy, Austin's contract is not going to, it's not going to become the negative asset that like Vando's contract has become. Nobody's particularly concerned on that front. So that's good. That's a good starting point. The other thing, and this is where what I brought up earlier plays an important role. The other thing that teams really like about Austin is that he has shown when AD and LeBron was there, he could be the third best player. When LeBron and Luka were there, he could be the third best player. When one of Luka or LeBron were out, he could carry a larger percentage of the offense as the team's second best player. For short stretches at a time. And then, even in some games, right, he had damn near a 50-point triple-double when he was asked to carry all of the offense against Sacramento last year. And that really impressed teams. So his ability to just kind of fit in, no matter what type of team he is playing on, is something that intrigues a lot of front office executives around the league. And so the reason I bring all of this up is if the Lakers aren't quite where they need to be, I do think Austin becomes the prime trade candidate that they would utilize to take a step forward next year. Now I know that he is very close with Luka, and I know that that is that friendship and that rapport that those two very quickly built together is something that like the Lakers would take into account, but they would also have to have a very honest conversation with Luka and be like, look, what are we here to do? Are we here to win? Are we here to win? Or are we here to make friends? Are we here to win? Or are we here to play the acoustic guitar? Like, what are we doing here? And if the point is to win, and if the Lakers aren't where they need to be, if they flame out early in the postseason or something like that, I do expect that there will be a lot of Austin Reeves trade rumors podcasts, that we wind up recording next summer. I don't think it would come up too much at the deadline. I think that's too shortly after this team was put together. But if again, like, and by the way, I'm saying this, I don't want to say this. I would prefer that the Lakers have more assets so that they can build with Luka and with Austin, that they could acquire a player who slots in between those two guys. But as it stands right now, you know, there is just a lot of duplicity between Austin and Luka's game. I talked earlier in the show about how there just aren't too many ways that Austin fills gaps in Luka's games or makes Luka better. And if Austin, you know, doesn't take the big step forward that he needs to take as a shooter to help space the floor for Luka, because we know he's not going to like take some huge step forward defensively. The way that he can really improve next year is by way of that catch and shoot ability. And if he doesn't take that step forward, and if the Lakers come up short, I think that he becomes the guy that most frequently is connected in some of these trades. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that the Lakers are really, really good. And that at the end of the day, or at the end of next season, they walk away from this first season of the, you know, proper Luka era, you know, saying, all right, how do we build on last year? Not, all right, how do we pivot from last year? And if they do have to pivot from this upcoming season, after this upcoming season, yeah, unfortunately, I think it's Austin would become the starting point of that pivot. So how do I see this playing out? I believe in Austin. I just do. Every time he's been asked to expand his game, carry more responsibility, you know, fit in with a different roster or a different team-wide identity, he has figured out a way to do it. And I continue to believe that he will do that again this upcoming season. Now, will he do so to such an extent that there is zero trade talk about him next year? Ooh, man, that's tough. I would probably say no. I would probably say that the Lakers are a really good regular season team. Their win-loss total that I just saw the other day has jumped up to like 46.5 right now. I think they clear that fairly comfortably. I think they win their division. They get home court in the playoffs. I think they win their first round matchup. And then, you know, then at that point, you're facing potentially an OKC or a San Antonio or a Denver or a Minnesota. Some of these teams that Austin has kind of struggled against, especially in the playoffs. And if those struggles continue, I do expect that like Austin trade talk picks up in a big way next summer. But I think he's going to, like, over the course of this contract, I think he's going to live up to that contract comfortably in the regular season. I think that he will help the Lakers in a big way. I think he makes an all-star team this year. I don't think he squeezes onto an all-NBA team, just because of how much Luka is going to have the ball in his hands this season. But I do think he does jump onto, or, you know, take that leap forward from really fun player, really intriguing player to bona fide all-star. I think that happens. I think he has a really good season, takes another step forward, and then we see how it goes in the playoffs, which, knock on wood, I guess. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast, a part of the Lakers Lounge Podcast Network. Hope you guys are enjoying these player previews. If you haven't already, check out the Luka one. And until next time you guys hear from me, whether that be by way of another one of these previews or whether that be by way of some breaking news that I have to react to, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.